Our scripture lesson this evening is from 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 through 18. And I invite you to follow along with me and also to keep your Bibles open as we look at different passages of scripture that speak to this concept that I've called nonstop prayer. That's the topic that we're going to be looking at this evening, nonstop prayer. Here Paul has some final instructions to the church in Thessalonica. And he says, beginning at verse 12, "Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always." And this is the verse that we want to look at. "Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And this is God's word for us this evening. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, when I say the word marathon, what comes to your mind? What do you think of? Now, maybe you think of that long race that people run. What is it, 26, 27 miles in the New York City Marathon or the Boston Marathon? Maybe you think of things that people have done in the past to get their name in the Guinness Book of Records. People have done all different types of even crazy things. I remember a couple of years ago, a guy was in a plexiglass cube hung up from a crane in the middle of London, and just with some water and bread in there, and he stayed in there for several days just to get his name in the Guinness Book of Records. I remember, too, reading about somebody who rode a roller coaster. I think it was for 24 hours, again, and to get his name in the Guinness Book of Records. And you can add different things that people have done to do that. We even do some things like that in order to raise money for good causes. Our deacons have had a marathon softball game in order to raise money for some type of cause. And our young people have had 24-hour fasts in order to raise money for world hunger. And we've also had in our church, and maybe you've had them here, is we've had 24-hour prayer vigils where people will be either at church or praying at home in 30-minute intervals. And we do that over a 24-hour period, praying for some program or some person. We did that very recently. We had a new pastor come with us, and his wife has had bladder cancer. And she's going through chemo right now. And we had a 24-hour prayer vigil for her a couple of weeks ago. Is that what Paul is talking about here when he says to us in verse 17 to pray continually? The King James Version says to pray without ceasing or to pray without stopping. Now, this isn't the first place where Paul talks about prayer in this way. If you have your Bibles open, turn back with me to Ephesians, Ephesians 1, verse 16. And here Paul talks about prayer. And he says to the Ephesians, "I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." He says, "I have not stopped giving thanks, and I keep asking that God will do this." And then turn over to Ephesians 6, verse 18. Ephesians 6, verse 18, he says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." And in Colossians 1, verse 9, if you turn over a couple of pages again, Paul says this. He says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fulfill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." And in Luke chapter 18, Jesus says to his disciples, he says that we should pray and not give up. He says there, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And then he goes on to give this parable of a woman who had a plea to the judge, and she kept going back and back to the judge until the judge relented and gave her what she had asked for. Now, what does Paul mean by praying continually? Well, some people would say that what Paul means is what Jesus is saying here, that we should pray persistently and not give up. Just keep on praying for what we want the Lord to do. And David did this. Remember when David had a child through Bathsheba, and that child became ill. And David spent time in his room praying to God, asking God to make that child well, until he passed away. And then David got up and dressed and went and ate. But until that happened, he was persistent in praying to God about that. But others say that no, what Paul is talking about here in our passage this evening is that we are to pray continuously, nonstop, without stopping. Now, you might say, how in the world can we do that? I mean, I just can't stand there and fold my hands and close my eyes. And I, you know, while I'm driving, I can't do that. I can't do it at work. I'll be fired if I just sit and pray at my desk all day, or I'll get a detention if I do that in school. How do I pray continually? Well, I think that we see in the Bible that there is reason to think that Paul may be talking about that. And there's reason to think that not only do we pray persistently, like Jesus said, but to pray continually, as Paul is saying here. Well, if that's true, how do you do it? And what I'd like to do this evening is to look with you at what is nonstop prayer. And then, if nonstop prayer is really praying without stopping, how do we do that? Well, first of all, let's look at what nonstop prayer might be. And to do that, we need to step back and look at a word picture that the Bible often uses, and that is for our relationship with God. The Bible often describes our relationship with God as walking with God. And the Jews like to use these, what we call word pictures, because they like to think concretely. They like to have whatever they're thinking about, that they, something that they can visualize. Like God is referred to as a rock. And our relationship to God is referred to as walking with God. Now, we read about that in a number of passages in the Bible. Colossians 2, verse 6, Paul says, continue to walk in him. Galatians 5, verse 16, we read, so I say, walk in the Spirit. And in Isaiah 2, verse 5, Isaiah says, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And we go back to Genesis, and in Genesis, the Bible tells us that Enoch walked with God, and also that Noah walked with God. And all of these word pictures are pictures of close relationship with God, knowing that God is in our presence, and also being obedient to God. Well, let's take that word picture and let's, so to speak, bring it down to earth. Now, many people walk, and, you know, walking is good for your health. And maybe you walk once in a while, maybe several times a week or so. And maybe you walk with a friend or with your spouse or with one of your family members. Well, picture yourself taking a walk. Now, let's observe a couple of things about that picture. Number one is that when you're taking a walk with somebody, you're usually walking next to them, or maybe right behind them or in front of them if you're on a busy street. So in other words, when you look at that picture and you see yourself in that picture, you see yourself very close to the person that you're walking with. Now, the other thing that you might notice about that picture is that you're not just walking, but usually when you walk with someone, you're also talking. Your legs aren't the only thing that's moving, but your jaws are moving as well. Usually I see people walking in the neighborhood by us, and usually I see them both walking and talking. And the other thing, that if we could hear that word picture, what do you talk about when you walk with somebody? You probably don't talk about the major issues of the world, but it's usually small talk, isn't it? Maybe if you women walk with someone else, maybe you're talking about the family, maybe how the kids are doing, maybe what you're going to have for dinner that night. Men, if you're walking with somebody, maybe you're talking about your favorite sports team, or maybe what's going on at work. But usually it's small talk. So when we walk with someone, we're close by them. We're usually talking with them as well as walking, and usually it's small talk. It's things that just pop into our heads. Maybe just talking about somebody's front yard that we see that it's really well kept and make a comment about that. Well, I think that that illustration really helps us to understand what nonstop prayer might be. In fact, take that same picture of taking a walk with a friend and substitute God for your friend. Picture yourself taking a long walk with God. Now, God is right beside you. In fact, the Bible tells us that when we trust in God, when we believe in Him, that God makes His home in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So we can't see Him, but we know from God's Word that God is with us at all times. And we can always pray to Him. We can always speak to Him. The song that He lives, the chorus goes, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. God is right beside us all the time, and we can always be talking with Him. Now, you might say, well, show me examples in the Bible where that has happened. And I'm glad you asked that question because I have some examples. If you have your Bibles open, turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. I think this is probably one of the best examples of walking and talking with God. In fact, I think Pastor Kuchen mentioned this in one of his sermons in the evening several weeks ago when I was here. Nehemiah was in exile, and he happened to be one of the fortunate ones because he was a cupbearer to the king. And we see in Nehemiah in the first chapter that some brothers came from Judah, and they were questioning them about the Jewish remnant who had remained back in Jerusalem. And it wasn't a good report. We read there in verse 3 that those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. Now, Nehemiah would bring a cup of wine to the king every day. And we read in chapter 2, we read this. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" Then the king said to me, "What is it you want?" Notice this. Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my fathers are buried so that I can rebuild it." He didn't say, "Wait a minute, king, let me just go and pray about this first." No, it seems like he didn't skip a beat. He said, "Then I prayed to God of heaven, and I answered the king." I can just picture Nehemiah standing there saying to himself, "Lord, please give me the words to speak as I speak to the king and give him an answer." We can do the same thing. And if you read through the book of Nehemiah, there's 8 different places where we see Nehemiah involved in what you might call spontaneous prayer, where he just prayed at the spur of the moment. Another example is Samson. When Samson was caught and his hair was cut and he lost his strength, the Philistines gouged out his eyes and they put him in prison. And one night they had this great feast in order to celebrate the fact that they had captured Samson. And Samson was standing in the middle of all these people, and he asked one of the servants to position him so he could be leaning against the main pillars of that building. And Samson, as he stood there, prayed a short prayer to God, "Lord, give me the strength once more." And God gave him the strength so that he could pull down those pillars. And Elisha, if you remember, one day Elisha woke up and his servant says to him, look outside. And there was this ring of soldiers around his house. And the servant was afraid. And Elijah prayed to God right there and said, God, please open the eyes of my servant that he might see the army of the Lord who was surrounding that army that was outside. And then there's the example of Jesus Christ hanging from the cross, praying for forgiveness for the people who crucified him and praying to God, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Hanging on the cross, he was speaking to God. And this idea of nonstop prayer is really a Hebrew or a Jewish thing as well. See, the Jews would take prayer as a way to remind them that all of life is sacred. It would help them to have a perspective on life that everything is divine. And so the Jews would have a number of prayers, hundreds of them actually, that they would pray throughout the day, short prayers. And I'm told that there are all types of prayers for things that they would do all throughout the day. By constantly praising God, it helped to remind them that God was always with them. So nonstop prayer is not sitting with your hands folded and your eyes closed and praying to God. But we can pray to God wherever we are, whatever we're doing, so that it becomes like a pattern in our lives. Well, if there is such a thing as nonstop prayer, how do we do it? How do we condition ourselves, so to speak, so that we are in constant conversation with God? Well, if you turn to Colossians 3, verse 17, Paul gives us an idea there. He says that, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, the Message translation of the Bible says this: let every detail in your lives be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. There's that word picture of walking with God. And whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. In other words, as we're going through the day, we can pray to God no matter what might be on our minds. And you might say that one way to do that or to think about it is to turn your thoughts into prayers. Now, we're always thinking about something. There's thoughts always going through our minds. Many times, or well, I shouldn't say many times, but sometimes when maybe my wife and I are sitting at the dinner table or we're sitting, she's doing something, I'm reading the paper, whatever, she might say to me, what's going through your mind? And I'll say, well, nothing. Well, not really true. Of course something's going through my mind. Thoughts are always going through my mind. I'm always thinking about something. And I'm sure you are as well. And what we can do is turn those thoughts into prayers. And let me give you some examples. Let's say you're driving down the road and it's at night and it's raining very hard, maybe a bad thunderstorm, and you're worried about getting safely to the place that you're going to. Turn that thought into a prayer. Pray to God. Ask God, help me to get to my destination safely. Maybe you've got a problem at work and maybe it just came to you that moment and you're wondering, how do I solve this problem? Turn that thought into a prayer. God, help me to deal with this situation. Maybe you're sitting in church in the morning and you're opening up the bulletin and you see that there's somebody who is sick and needs prayer. Don't wait until the end of the day and maybe you pray and maybe you forget about that person. Turn that thought into a prayer. Ask God to heal that person. And it's not just requests that we might bring to God, but praise as well. A lot of times I will think about God when I look around me, when I'm working, maybe out in the yard. Maybe someday you're working out in the yard and it's a beautiful day, cloudless day. And turn that thought into a prayer. God, thank you for the beautiful day. I'll do that many times when I run several times during the week. And now it's dark when I run, but as days get longer and I see the sun coming up and it's a beautiful morning, I'll say, thank you, God, for this beautiful morning. And maybe another thing is that when we sin against God, and I don't do this as much as I should, but rather than wait until the end of the day and ask God, Lord, forgive me of my sins, maybe when you sin against God and you know that you did something wrong, pause a moment and say, Lord, please forgive me for that sin. You see, God is always by our side and we can always talk to him, whether it might be a request, whether it might be praise, whether it might be confession. We can always talk to God. And notice here that Paul says, pray continually. It's a command. He doesn't say, you know, think about praying continually, a really a good thing, or consider praying continuously. He says, no, he says, pray continuously or pray without ceasing. And since it's a command, it must not come naturally. I know that it doesn't. I've been trying to do this for several years now, and I'm getting better. I'll go through the day and I'll thank God for helping me with something. I'll ask God to help me with something. But it takes time and it takes going over and over again to make this to come natural. And because it's a command, God knows that it's going to be hard for us to do, that it's not a natural thing for us to do. And so he says, pray to the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to turn your thoughts into prayers. When I pray each morning, one of the things I pray is to ask God to help me to listen to him speaking to me throughout the day and also to speak with him throughout my day as well. You know, when we turn our thoughts into prayers, what it does is it helps us to realize our total dependence on God. And God loves that. And it also helps us to be conscious of the fact that God is always present in our lives. There's a song that we sing. In fact, we're going to sing it in a few minutes. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire. And one of the verses says that prayer is the Christian's vital breath. Just like we can't live physically without breathing, we can't live spiritually without praying. Praying continually, without ceasing, nonstop, might seem like it's an unreasonable thing to do. Like you might say, Paul, how can I pray continuously? That's kind of an ideal situation. It's a pie in the sky concept. There's no way that I can do that. But it is possible, and it's possible through the help of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you remember a number of years ago, I don't think they use this commercial anymore, but Home Depot used to have a commercial where they would talk to you about doing maybe some type of project at home, and that in order to do that project, you need to come to them and buy your materials. And they would finish the commercial by saying, you can do it and we can help. I think God is saying to us tonight that you can have constant conversation with me and I can help you. Because nonstop prayer really is an overflow of a consistent relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It shows that we are always recognize the fact that we are dependent on him for whatever we do. And it also makes us conscious at all times of God's presence in our lives. And I know many times I'm going through the day and I just forget all about God. I think that I'm in control, that I'm trying to do what I've got to do at work, and I forget about the fact that God is there with me and God wants to help me. And all I've got to do is ask him. And when I do, I see those answers to prayer that God many times answers my prayer. And what I ask for, God provides for me. When you turn your thoughts into prayers, it raises your awareness of God's presence in your life. And we need to recognize that every minute of the day, so that we can have the strength to get through each day. I don't know if you remember Dr. Robert Cook, many times in his radio message, used to say, pray your way through the day. I remember him saying, you know, before you answer the telephone, pray to God. Before you open the mail, pray to God. Before you go to a meeting, pray to God. pray your way through the day. Always remember that God is only a prayer away. So pray continuously, without ceasing, nonstop. Just as we can't live without breathing, we can't live spiritually without being in conversation with God every minute of the day. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of prayer. We thank you so much that because of what Jesus did, that we can come to you directly in prayer. We don't have to go through another person, a priest or someone else. But we can talk to you at all times. We don't have to go to a temple or to a church to pray, but we can be in prayer while we're driving down the road. We can be in prayer to you while we're sitting at work or at the job. We can pray to you while we're working at home or whether we're sitting in school doing a test. Whatever we might be doing, wherever we might be, you are there and you welcome our conversation with you. Help us, Father, to be ever conscious of your presence in our lives, and help us to be walking and talking with you throughout the day. And may that give us the strength and the courage as we face each new day. Father, we know that with your help, we can do it. We pray that you would indeed help us and help us to work at it and to work day after day, turning our thoughts into prayers with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.